The founders forgot that we had medical liberty.
We seem to be losing by taking the side of the middle. And we seem to constantly be losing.
I think Trump has made some kind of arrangements with Russia.
This person has made the allegations that they were a man.
If there's content that's borderline, that's content that we basically will not.
There is no second best. There's no second best crypto asset.
Let's talk about science.
I respect you and I have a great deal of appreciation to you, JF, because in a time when everybody was attacking me, when Sargon doxed me and smeared me, you were the only one who gave me a platform, and you were very kind in helping me put the truth out there.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Jeff G Tonight. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? I think we can safely conclude that Israel killed JFK. Not directly, not that the shooter was a Jew, but that it has organized an ensemble of deep state, psychological secret service forces around a schizophrenic man, Lee Harvey Oswald, and that especially as it came to the time to hide the facts and to keep America from doing a true investigation, Israel has left its fingerprint in the story in a way that I personally conclude it is probably the case that Israel has killed JFK, probably with a relatively high certainty, in the sense that it is the hypothesis that wins over all the other. And this operated, and none of this conclusion actually comes from the release. The release doesn't contain much new info that is super relevant. I think that I will go through about 5 or 6 documents, but these 5 or 6 documents were available before. So it's not the new release of the JFK files that lead me to this conclusion. It's just the fact that I had never really taken a look at the available evidence, and the available evidence points to the fact that there was a Jewish conspiracy involving the Jewish mob, Jewish intelligence agents related to the CIA, to Mossad, to an international network that may have tied even Russia, Cuba, and that somehow this recipe was applied to get a Lee Harvey Oswald to kill the president and eventually to kill Oswald himself so that he wouldn't rat, as Jack Ruby phrases it. We'll go through the arguments and why I'm convinced of that. 52 days dry age strip loin, earthly flavor. Today I'm trying a slice reduced into cubes. I mean, look at that. The outside of the meat has all become super darkened. There's a line of dark all around the meat. Here, dark here, dark here. And you get a deep purple inside the meat. That's at 52 days. I have now consumed about 3 or 4 slices from it. And I've consumed about half of the strip loin. Maybe a little more than half with this strip here. I mean, look at the meat. It is less wet. It's more crystalline. There's just less water. And look at the cubes. I mean, this is as beautiful as red tuna. And this is just a basic strip loin that I got from the grocery store. And you can see when you chop it in cube, it's almost translucent, the meat. It's become purple, very dark purple instead of red. You can see the fatty parts with the earthy, very tasty pieces of fat that have crystallized in dark. It is quite something. I mean, I've never seen cubes of beef that are as beautiful as this. I don't know for you. I could look at this all day. I added it to a rice today, so I designed a rice that could take all of my leftover vegetables. I had old mushroom, old celery, rice, chives, and the aged beef. End of the line, Joel says, can you go hunting with a rifle in Alberta? I don't know. I haven't looked for it. I haven't searched this information because I'm busy with family responsibilities. There's basically no way I could leave for many days to go hunting. But I've seen so many animals. I've seen deers on the street sometimes within residential areas. I've seen hundreds of deers walking around the fields, the plains. I've seen, when we arrived, we saw mountain goats. We saw these big mountain ram with big horns. And we saw a group of maybe 20 females and 4 males. I don't know if you can hunt the mountain ram. Probably not. I'm sure you can't. But that was a spectacular view to see these animals so close as we were driving into the mountains in these small parkway roads that are kind of not fully finished roads. And we saw that they came very close to our car, 4 male with the big rotatory horns. It was absolutely spectacular. Corey DeAngelis says, a bill attacking homeschool families passed the Illinois House Education Committee. The vote was 8-4. About 42,000 people signed up in opposition to the bill. The Democrats didn't care. They think they own your kids. Wake up, parents. Throw them out of office. Yes, we have to fight very hard on preserving homeschooling. Because in Democrat areas, they will eventually go after it. Because homeschooling is the flight of capital away from teachers of the public school. And teachers of the public school, basically, what is the business of a public school? It's a monopoly that runs on hoping to get non-problematic children. And the more you have white parents pulling out their children from public school, they don't get that easy money. And so the people get worse and worse in the public school. They are no more surrounded by low trouble children. And so you end up with the worst of society. And then the $12,000, $15,000 that you get per student isn't enough to cover the special care for them. So, we have to deprive the public school system of funds by pulling our children out, because it never stops. When you begin by sending your children to public school, then it's, oh, well, they need to be vaccinated. Oh, well, you don't want to vaccinate them. Well, you're a bad parent. You are not providing a needed treatment, a needed medical treatment. So we're going to call the CPS on you. And so you get your children vaccinated. Now they have to be exposed to state propaganda. Now they're getting told by their teacher to be ashamed of being white. They get, eventually in their teenage years, they get converted to LGBTism. It never ends. They will attack your children until they don't reproduce. The only way out is homeschooling. So let us defend it. Now, a state like Illinois, I think it's a lost state. I don't think that eventually Illinois will probably make it illegal to homeschool, like all democratic states. You kill the man, but not the ID. A split view between Ari Sisson and Jeff Epstein. I love the exaggeration of it. I love the dramaticness of it. It's completely beside the track. Ari Sisson had his harem of admirers. The worst thing that you can criticize him for is to not have been upfront with these women about them not being exclusive. But it was purely texting. Jeffrey Epstein, on the other hand, was into live human trafficking. This has to stop. This is really sad. InfoWars host Owen Schroyer was swatted. You see these SWAT teams arriving because someone called, and they make these fake calls where they say, "I'm Owen Schroyer and I'm going to commit suicide." And it's very clear at this point that police forces are kind of okay with this happening. Probably they must derive some income from using their SWAT forces like this. So they let it happen. They let the misunderstandings happen. They don't pursue very hard the people who do these calls. And most importantly, any public personality like me is in contact with the local police, and they have my phone number, and they should call before, especially when we are in a moment where there's lots of terrorism, lots of leftist terrorism, and that's what they do. We know that there's been a lot of swatting. So we are always open to communicate with police to avoid a situation like this, where they come with guns and, I don't know, you open the door and maybe they get nervous and they pull the trigger. We have to find a way so that these trolls and these terrorists don't have power over using the police as a weapon, using the police as a tool of harassment. Police and SWAT respond to an armed gunman today at the CIA headquarters after the JFK files release. So there was a guy, the gunman was growing angry, talking about Osama bin Laden and Donald Trump during the ongoing armed standoff with police outside the CIA headquarters. So another schizo. I don't know what happened with him. I didn't see if he got shot or if he got arrested, but another schizo lost to his own nervousness. Google's acquisition of Israeli cybersecurity company Wiz will mark the single largest transfer of former Unit 8200 Israeli spies into any American company. All Wiz founders are former 8200, as are dozens of staff, from office managers to product analysts to software engineers. Google buying Wiz for $32 billion to beef up in cloud security, bro. Those are not good news. Thankfully, I've been mostly weaned off of Google. I mean, Google has rejected me progressively across the years because, okay, I was making money on YouTube. Now they kick me from YouTube. They shadow ban my secondary accounts. They demonetize me. And eventually the Google searches, I've abandoned them voluntarily because they were just not good. Like, I do research. If I search 4chan, Paul, speculation about the craziest Pizzagate story ever, I want the result. But Google, it's like, oh, well, wouldn't you want instead a course on how not to rape women? No, I want the 4chan poll speculation about Pizzagate. So Google became totally useless to me. I still have my email. I guess we have to start moving away from Google seriously, to the point where I should consider canceling my email there and perhaps find a more ethical company. End of the line. Joel says, why are there so many software security companies in Israel? Same thing with defense contractors. Oh, it's because that the whole trick of the centralized internet has always been to mass info gathering. That is the only value that something like Facebook brings, really. It's value from the perspective of the advertisers and the corporations holding that info. It's that this info gives you power. And so I think Israel has understood this very early. And in fact, most of the big tech enterprises are all started by Jews. So it's a natural follow-up that you get a mix of Jewish interest in the U.S. and Mossad interest in building together basically the centralized big tech internet, which is why I've always fought for an alternative. And I've always only used these mainstream platforms to the extent that, you know, at some point YouTube was the only thing that you could really publish video with. Now that there's other things, I think we do have to create a lot of competition, and I think it will go naturally because the Jews are naturally intolerant, you know. they just can't allow you to say certain things. It triggers them and they start to create bureaucracies and they start hiring women to listen to what you have to say. Blimpy Survivor says, seriously, my pager exploded yesterday. My wife said not to put it in the microwave, but it wouldn't stop beeping. Well, I would do a quick search on your wife to ensure that she's not in the Mossad, you know, chain of supply, because we've seen that before. Donald Trump on Iran. Iran did as I suggested again, and it leads Donald Trump to be forced to admit that Iran isn't doing anything aggressive right now. Look at this. Reports are coming in that while Iran has lessened its intensity on military equipment and general support to the Houthis, they are still sending large levels of supplies. This is a typical Trump sentence. Cannot be true. It's you don't know these things. You're just bullshitting your way. On the one hand, you have to acknowledge that you haven't caught them on camera doing anything, so you don't have the evidence. But at the same time, you want to keep the pressure on them. So, they're still sending very large amounts of supplies. The largest amounts of supplies we've ever seen. Iran must stop the sending of these supplies immediately. Let the Houthis fight it out themselves. Either way, they lose, but this way they lose quickly. Tremendous damage has been inflicted upon the Houthi barbarians, and watch how it will get progressively worse. It's not even a fair fight and never will be. They will be completely annihilated. So that's Trump's way, I guess, of acknowledging that Iran, he doesn't have much against Iran. And so he added to it, he did a goalpost move today. He said, Iran now has 2 months to disengage from nuclear weapon program and to sign a deal in which they will commit not having nuclear weapons, or we're going to have to bombard Iran. So we'll see what Iran does with this, but that is the threat today from Trump. And meanwhile, a suggestion has emerged from Somalia to welcome the Palestinian people after the genocide of Israel. Somaliland says that it is considering accepting Gaza residents in exchange for recognition. So basically, Somalia, the home of Ilhan Omar, is it? Ilhan Omar is from Somalia, I think. Somalia has a little chunk there that seems that it's not acknowledged by the international community or whatever, and seems to call itself Somaliland. And Somaliland would say, we're taking the Gaza refugees if we're taking the Palestinians, if you recognize our existence. Now, I have to look at this on a map. Where is this Somaliland? I had never heard of this. Let me look at this on a map. Somalia. Somalia. Okay, so it's right there at the tip of the African continent. So let me put it for you guys. Right there at the tip. So basically, it's on the other side of the sea from Yemen. So Somalia is here, and Somaliland would be here. So basically, it's the border of the sea. So you would have the Palestinians next to the Yemenites, next to the Houthis, potentially sending missiles to American ships through this passage toward Israel and toward the Mediterranean Sea right here. Wow. Isn't that fascinating? So Somaliland. So the Palestinians would be taken from Israel, would make their way somewhere here, I don't know exactly, would be transported by boat and dropped onto Somaliland, just beside Somalia, what seems to be currently included in Somalia. It's interesting. Those are all the countries bordering Ethiopia. So Ethiopia is right here at the heart of this, and it seems that Ethiopia never successfully pushed toward the borders of the ocean, and rather the border of the ocean has been dominated by Muslim, you see here, Muslim names for cities. And so that would be where the Palestinians reside going forward. A Blimpy Survivor says, Palestinians' neighbors will improve from the worst people ever to the second worst people. Red Sea will become Pirate Alley. Would have been funnier if they send them to Madagascar, though. Yeah, it's like, this is a recipe for shit. This is such a recipe for massive amounts of shit. Because ultimately, you have everyone wants to control this place because it's important, because anything that you want to transfer to Europe, it's a shortcut compared to going around Africa. But everyone wants to control it, and in the very same way the Jews wanted to control it. Like, the Jews went there, at the beginning of the 20th century and started migrating there. With the intent of putting themselves at the heart and at the intersection of many civilizations. And so they're paying the price of what I find is a very bad decision. Establishing Israel there, you wouldn't have me sign up for it, even if I was a Jew. Because I'm a man who flees away from civilization and overpopulated areas, and you're asking me to go at the middle of the world, the middle of the Muslim world on top of it? Forget it. I'm not with this. End of the line, Joel says, then Ben Shapiro finds ancient Hebrew coins in Somaliland. It was always Jewish. Well, hopefully if we move the Palestinians, they're not going to pull again this ancestral land argument, hopefully. All right, so let me drop the series of things that I've been thinking about why I conclude that Israel is responsible for killing JFK. So we know that JFK was shot by Lee Harvey Oswald. Lee Harvey Oswald is a schizoid guy who has been carried around by his mother, who has been a U.S. veteran. He's been working for the U.S. Army, and from his youth to his adult age, always has been troubled with probably some sort of schizophrenia. They've diagnosed him with schizoid personality disorder, you know, the kind of paranoid type. So we have a very paranoid, very sensitive individual here, probably stemming from a childhood where he was ignored and eventually even abandoned by his mother, who was carrying him around and eventually moved to New York City. So we have Lee Harvey Oswald coming from a military background, ending up ending up in so many stories in his life that he ends up meeting with the KGB in Minsk at some point. He ends up around the world being scared of what the government could do to you, could do to him. And he's paranoid and he's seeking help from the communists, and the KGB agents are looking at him and they say, what the fuck is this bizarre guy coming to us and basically asking for help, protection, or thinking that he has info? So the typical schizo, really. Impressively, 2 months before the shooting of JFK, he finds himself in Mexico City, also requesting a meeting with the KGB. So apparently there were KGB agents there. He organizes a meeting. So a very bizarre guy who goes for intelligence services and who expresses to these guys that he's scared of the FBI. He's scared for his life. He thinks that he may be subject to some sort of conspiracy or entrapment of some sort. A very deluded man. So a man who was probably the kind of perfect model for a recruitment operation. And we know that of the agents that he's been in contact with, it's not just the KGB. There were Cuban people. There was also, importantly, a man named Ruben, who was a Mossad agent, who seems to have been in contact with Lee Harvey Oswald within the months preceding the shooting. And so you have this bizarre Mossad connection a few months before the shooting. And importantly, you also have this guy, Jack Rubenstein, another Jew who shows up in Lee Harvey Oswald's life. And he shows up 2 days after the shooting and he shoots him. And I believe that the combination of the stellar combination of probabilities here, just with these two facts, with the fact of the contact of a Mossad agent in the months before, the known schizoid personality of Lee Harvey Oswald, meaning that he was a valid puppet for a plan, and also the leaks about the conspiracy, which involved, in my view, at least three people have decided that JFK was going to be killed, and people have heard and have spoken about this conspiracy, and the fact that this conspiracy was tied to Jewish money. These facts taken together indicate to me that Jews, that Israel is implicated, and of course, we can just swipe very quickly on this, but Israel had many reasons to hate JFK. JFK was suggesting a checkup of the nuclear program of Israel that made Israel uncomfortable. We've reviewed a video of a guy analyzing the history of this, and there were aggressive letters sent from JFK saying, no, we're going to stop you from engaging in nuclear. And JFK also was starting to show that he can win the election without the support of the Jews. And JFK was about to declare AIPAC, the equivalent of AIPAC then, as a foreign entity that requires money disclosing. William Kunstler, in his book, describe what Jack Rubenstein told him about the killing and why did he kill Oswald. When Jack told me he had killed Oswald for the Jews, I believed him. On each of the three occasions we talked, he said, Bill, I did this so they wouldn't implicate Jews. Lee Harvey Oswald had belonged to Fair Play for Cuba, an organization, blah, blah, blah. So you have this guy who's running around secret services across the world, Cuba, Mexico City, Minsk, help me, KGB. And he's very, very crazy, very schizoid. But you have this much less crazy guy in Jack Rubenstein who reports very clearly, and Jack Rubenstein ended up dying before he could be retried with all of this info. He ended up dying in jail in Dallas. Jack Rubenstein is much more clear-minded and has confessed to both book writers like this guy and to his psychiatrist, "I killed Lee Harvey Oswald because I'm part of a Jewish conspiracy. I did it for the Jews." That, to me, leaves very little space to interpret anything else than this conspiracy was Jewish in nature. It involved a Jewish mobster, Jack Rubenstein. The Jewish mobster made sure to clean up the mess and made sure, as he killed Oswald, one of his first explanations was, "I wanted to kill this rat." Now, I've asked Grok AI. Grok AI, rat, you know, when we talk of a rat in modern times, we're talking about someone who will snitch. We're talking about a snitch. Is it realistic that someone in the 50s or 60s would use the word rat to talk about a snitch? And Grok AI said, yes, it's actually, rat has been used in the criminal milieu for snitch since the 1850s. So it's been 100 years that rat is a synonymous in the criminal world for snitch. And so when Jack Rubenstein says, "I killed this guy because he's a rat," and then when he says to his psychiatrist, "I did it because I'm a Jew," just connect these two ideas together and you have the whole story there. Jack Rubenstein did it because he was a Jew, because he didn't want the Jews to be ratted out. What was scary for Rubenstein, and we have a testimony from his own sister saying that this was on his mind when JFK died, it was he went crazy. He went crazy about the idea that the Jews would be found to be guilty of this assassination. We'll get to it. But here are some of the statements reported by people who have witnessed Jack Rubenstein himself saying, "Us Jews have guts, and I plan to kill this assassin, this rat, 3 times. So someone remembers, yeah, Jack Rubenstein mentioned that he was a rat. And he said that he wanted to kill him to show that the Jews do have guts. We have another telling here from the same trial. That was his closing sentence. And he said, "And I guess I want the world to know that Jews do have guts." So here you have the schizo, Lee Harvey Oswald, a sensitive mind, scared of his government, maybe justifiably, maybe not. You never know with a schizo. Most of the time not, but at some point schizos will be right sometimes. And you have another personality, Jack Rubenstein, who says, "I wanted to show that the Jews do have guts. I wanted to kill this rat." Now, Jack Rubenstein is a personality of its own, very different from a schizoid. He's more like, he is a bar owner. And he's been for a year trying to start up some sort of mob relationship in Dallas between the Secret Services, the FBI, CIA, the local police, and he starts giving free drinks and free strippers to all these police agents. And his bar is in debt. He doesn't make much money, but he is obsessed with promoting his bar, with making it more popular, making it work better. And it's a bar, ultimately, where there's some degree of sex trafficking. He has these strippers, he has policemen, he has gangsters. He wants to put this together and kind of become a cornerstone of Dallas mobsters. He constantly annoys policemen. He's very close to the police milieu. He knows these people, and sometimes he brags about it. "I know him. He's with the FBI." So he cuts someone, and he's like, "Oh, yeah, I know this guy. He's from the FBI. Ha, ha, ha." at some other place, he's with the Attorney General in his office, and he says, "I don't know you." And Jack Rubenstein answers, "Oh, you'll know me very soon." Like, typical mobster, typical Jewish mobster. DK Shadow says, "These nightclubs are havens for intelligence and organized crime. I repeat myself." Absolutely. Absolutely. So you see the kind of personality, very exploitative. He's reported to be very abusive to the women that are working with him. Very tempered. Apparently, he would beat people down if they called him Spark, because his kind of street nickname that people were naming him is Spark, for a spark plug or a... And some people report that he would be named Spark because it was easy to set off. He had more of a bipolar type of personality, maybe borderline, just very easy to set off into craziness and to become abusive. And at the same time, he had the pressure of his non-working business. He was not making enough money and he was desperate. He was putting posters out there, wanted to attract the locals to his bar. Co says, "This is why they shot Scarface to blood libel Italians." There's currently a lot of people on social media that are arguing that somehow the Godfather, the whole idea of the Italian mafia, is actually a Jewish psyop. I wouldn't go as far as saying it's certainly that, but it's interesting. It's an interesting case of the idea of the Italian mafia has been put forward in cinema by the Jews. Now, there's also the argument that something like The Godfather was inspired by books that were written before. So it's not the fault of the Jews if the book existed, but certainly the Jews have participated to bringing the idea of an Italian mafia to the screen. And it's interesting. It's interesting to think that it may be for some degree of red herring to say, look, you should care about the Italians, not the Jews. So let's go back to Jack Rubenstein. This is some of the last moments of Jack Rubenstein with psychiatrist Werner Tutor. at the beginning, there's some sort of injection. I believe they're injecting him with a vaccine or something. Ruby told me, he said, "Well, they injected me for a cold. He said it was cancer cells. That's what he told me. Ruby did." I said, "You don't believe that bullshit." He said, "I damn sure do." So I think he believed that, he believed that the cold vaccine may have been cancer cells that were, and interestingly, he ends up dying, I believe, of cancer or something like this in the Dallas jail. So he was convinced that the cold vaccine was poison to him. One day when I started to leave, Ruby shook hands with me and I could feel a piece of paper in his palm. It was a note in which Ruby claimed that he was part of a conspiracy and that his role was to silence Oswald. Not long before Ruby died, according to an article in the London Sunday Times, he told psychiatrist Werner Tutor that the assassination was an act of overthrowing the government and that he knew who had President Kennedy killed. So he knew that is a third party who would have asked both to, who would have somehow caused Lee Harvey Oswald to do the shooting and would have caused him to kill Oswald then. He added, "I'm doomed. I do not want to die, but I'm not insane. I was framed to kill Oswald." So he feels framed. That's a weird statement that I have not yet figured out. How is he framed? Because it's very clear to me later in his statement that he's doing it for the Jews. So if you're doing it for the Jews, do it in full, you know, but it seems that he felt betrayed. He felt that he was dropped under the bus, maybe by his own people. So I believe that this is very revealing. I don't believe what I'm reading, okay? This is the reporting from his sister. I believe that his sister may be mistaken on some of the events here. But I believe it's interesting because the gist of what she says is about the mindset of Jack Rubenstein. Right after he learns through the radio that President Kennedy was killed, Ruby was sensitive to anti-Semitism and was distressed that an ad attacking the president was signed by a person with the Jewish name. So there was a Goldenstein or whatever, and it was someone attacking JFK in an ad. He had noticed this the morning. Early the next morning, Ruby noticed a political billboard featuring the text "Impeach Earl Warren" in block letters. Ruby's sister Eva testified that Ruby had told her that he believed that the anti-Kennedy ad and the anti-Warren sign were connected and were a plot by a Gentile to blame the assassination on the Jews. I believe this is what we have to pay attention to here. Do I believe that Rubenstein was truly alarmed at the ads themselves? Maybe. Maybe it added to his nervousness. But I believe what we have to retain is whatever the excuse he gave his sister for why he was nervous about JFK and the Jews. So JFK just died, and Rubenstein is super nervous all of a sudden. He wants to close his bar. He's contacting friends and saying, should I close my bar for 3 days? JFK has just been assassinated. And his sister gives us insight into his mind. At this time, what he's worried is there is a bunch of Gentiles who are like they are plotting to make it, to blame the Jews. We have to do something. Now, that is a misreading of Gentiles, but the kind of misreading you could expect from a Jew. This guy is probably involved in the whole conspiracy, because I think he wouldn't reveal to his sister that he was involved in the conspiracy, but later he says it to his psychiatrist, and he says it on a piece of paper to a policeman. I'm part of a conspiracy. I was part of a conspiracy to kill JFK and to hide who did it. And my function was to hide who did it. So he wouldn't reveal this to his sister, but what he reveals is the heart of his worry here. That, oh my God, I just got framed into a thing, and eventually Oswald will come out and will reveal that it ultimately comes from Jews. And I'm identifiably Jewish. The third party that he kept secret is probably identifiably Jewish too. Now it starts running in his mind that we are in deep, deep shit here. Because the American people will eventually know that Jewish mobsters have set up the killing of their president. That's testimony straight from his sister. On top of it, of course, there's a lot of people are bringing the James Angleton axis. Jews were the prime movers of the assassination in order to stop JFK's policy of preventing Israel acquiring nukes and registering Israeli lobbying under Farah. Their guy in the CIA, James Angleton, along with Jewish mafia, were the means. LBJ reversed Kennedy's policy on Israel. So James Angleton is another angle that I'm not digging too deep into, but a lot of people are finding documents in this new release and in old releases that indicate this kind of NLT collaboration between the CIA and Mossad, the establishment of an unofficial channel of communication where they don't want the information to be known that it comes from Mossad. So they make up a whole fake system where, okay, we're going to say that it comes from him. And he's all, basically for us, it will mean it comes from Mossad, but no one else will know. So James Angleton was apparently a very important elbow in this whole Mossad CIA tying. We have, again, that's a document that people are bringing in the last few days, but that doesn't seem to have come strictly from the recent release. I believe this was available before. This is basically someone comes out 2 days, I believe, a few days after the assassination, and says, "The assassination of the great President Kennedy was a shock to Palestinians. Please convey our sincere sympathy to the Kennedy family." And they denunciate the idea that the late president was likely to win the coming presidency election without supplicating the Zionist sympathy or seeking the Jews' votes. Aware of the fact that their influence and power in the U.S. are based upon the Jews' votes, the Zionists murdered a courageous president. So that's theorizing, theorizing from the Palestinian side here. Tim Pool points out to this segment that has been, he says it has been in the JFK release. Ramparts. The day after the assassination, Gary Underhill left Washington in a hurry. Late in the evening, he showed up at the home of friends in New Jersey. He was very agitated. A small clique within the CIA was responsible for the assassination, he confided, and he was afraid for his life and probably would have to leave the country. Less than 6 months later, Underhill was found shot to death in his Washington apartment. The coroner ruled it a suicide. Well, it's hard to place this in context and know, is it an illustration that whoever Jack Rubenstein was protecting got away with it? That he's roaming around and he was free to kill other people who would expose the conspiracy? Or was it just one more schizo in the story? I don't know. Doubting Thomas says, "Jeff, it seems that Angleton was the single point of CIA-Mossad communication. Or at least controlled that communication." Yeah, that's pretty much what I've said. I've said he was an important elbow in the apparatus of communication between the two. And that has been memeing a lot in the last day. But again, this is not new. Not from the recent release. This was available before. But people are mistaken and they believe it's from the recent release. But that's another important point in making the case that Israel killed JFK. You had information obtained by intelligence agencies that a bunch of gangsters related to the Cuban mafia in Chicago then were starting to be funded by the Jews and were bragging that, "Oh my God, now that the Jews are funding us, we're making so much money, and on top of it, we'll be able to take care of JFK, or they will." So the circle that was claiming this was Echevarria. Echevarria, who was a guy in the trade of weapons for gangs in Chicago. Esquivaria, linked to Cuban people, I believe, allegedly made a comment the day before the assassination of President John F. Kennedy. So that would be before it was even known that he was dead. He said, "We now have plenty of money. Our new backers are Jews. As soon as we, or they, take care of Kennedy, dot, dot, dot." So you had you had Jewish money circulating here in racial networks of non-Jewish people. And that is not particularly surprising. It's the use of proxies to do the bidding. But the fact that he was bragging about this and it was recorded by someone, by an informant, before JFK was assassinated, kind of indicates either prescience or involvement. This means that Israel was, the Jewish mob in general, was pouring money down networks of ethnic mafias, some of them not directly Jewish, but serving Jewish interests, precisely so they could get some of that money. So all in all, I think we've went around the important facts. Aidan Hunter was raising the question, why is there a record that Jack Rubinstein was present in Israel a few months before, in 1962, months prior to the JFK assassination? So you have a guy here who's killing Oswald because he says, I'm doing it because I'm a Jew. I'm doing it because I want to kill this rat. I'm doing it because I'm part of a conspiracy. And my role is to hide the true nature of the killing of JFK. And this guy was hanging out in Israel a few months before. And finally, another thing that did seem like it was released. Oh no, it was released in redacted form before. But now we got to see it in the new release because Trump asked for no redaction. So we get to see where was the CIA constantly working to hide the information from the American public. What kind of things were they hiding? Well, we get to see it from this segment here. CIA has no objection to declassification and/or release of CIA information in this document, except brackets. And the brackets... they really were just interested... Well, not just. They had other requests. But they were interested in this sentence, at particularly obfuscating the role of the Israeli intelligence service and its relationship with Angleton, with the CIA. So when we were seeing these dark markers on all this stuff, and people eventually made a drawing of a Jew, a Jew in black marker, they were pretty much right on target. Yes, it was the Jews hiding behind the black marker, and the CIA is still very, it's very taken over by Jewish interests, to the point where when the CIA asks you to put something in black marker, there's a good chance it's going to be about the Jews. So that is it for my review. And so personally, I conclude, well, Israel killed JFK. You know, it doesn't get much clearer than this. Clearer than this would be to have the name from Jack Rubinstein. Who was Jack Rubinstein hiding? But the fact that he's so out there, so openly sharing that he's doing this for his Jewish nationalism, to me, that's enough. That's enough to conclude that the people who wanted most to hide the truth about the JFK assassination were the people who ordered it, and it was Jews. DK Shadow says, Steven Crowder is trying to hijack that meme. Yeah, I saw this. It's fun. It's fun to see a somewhat mainstream personality starting to be opened for some edgy Jewish humor. Elon Musk says that he thinks we could have 1 million people on Mars in 20 years. Forget it. It's not happening.
So you're going to need on the order of 1 million people, maybe 1 million tons of cargo.
So, but you think we could have 1 million people on Mars in 20 years?
Yes.
And what's the technology we're missing right now? When you think about 1 million people on Mars, do we have the ability to get water, to get food, to keep them safe? What do we need to make that happen?
Well, you need to recreate the entire base of industry of Earth. So, you know, we're here at the top of a massive pyramid of industry that starts with mining a vast array of materials, those materials going through hundreds of steps of refinement. We grow food, obviously. We grow trees. We make things out of the trees. There's, you know, you've got to build all that on Mars. And Mars is a hostile environment. It's, you know, it sometimes gets above zero on a warm summer day near the equator on Mars. I mean, it's quite cold.
And how do you prep for that?
Forget about this.
Well, in the beginning on Mars, you have to have a life support habitation module.
Right.
Like you can't just live outdoors. You can't breathe the air.
Like a dome, you think is likely?
Yeah. Glass domes type of thing.
Yeah. A dome that will eventually crack and everyone will die and they'll be all squeezed into a small portion of the habitation until we go save them. This is a recipe for disaster. Ye is in a crisis. It's sad to see Ye suffering, but Ye is currently in a tweeting crisis, mostly around the theme of betrayal. And he's working on an album called Bully. And he is tired of seeing all these people that he stood for and that betrayed him and didn't stand by him when they came to take his children. And when the Kardashians, which he considers are white women, he considers the Kardashians to be white. Okay. So he considers that by taking their children, it is white women who have stolen his children, and he believes in his tweets, I have concluded that he believes that the grandma of his children is already involved in sexual exploitation of them because she has sold in advance the rights to a sex tape, to a future sex tape of his children. I don't know if he has evidence for this. That sounds very out there. He says, I am in pain that no one person can fix. The betrayal, Virgil, John Legend, Kim, Trav, Carti, Big Sean, Jay-Z, Tyler, Dirk, Common, the Kardashians, Adidas, Balenciaga, my own kids, my own family, the black community, and of course the Jews. I'm in pain. I bled for everyone, he says. As a father, this made me very uncomfortable to see countless pictures like this of my children placed inside their phones. This was cheese screensaver. I am 100% convinced that my children are in a sex trafficking ring. The grandmother signed for the sex tape. DK Shadow says, option contract for a sex tape. Apparently. It seems that Ye is alleging that the grandmother somehow found a way to benefit from a future sex tape. Maybe it's a bet. Maybe it's an insurance policy. The Kardashians are sex workers, and they sex traffic all of the black children they strategically produce. So he claims to have had his sperm stolen by a bunch of Arabic... what he calls white sex workers, white prostitutes who produce black babies with Ye for the purpose of exploiting them sexually. A little out there as a claim, but certainly there is an injustice in the fact that we have a father here who doesn't have access to influencing the education of his children. I am in pain. My soul is black. I am evil, he says.
You know, my thing is, when I go in, I'm going into these fights with shit I'm really dealing with. It'd be good if niggas, like, actually help me because what I'm saying is right. But instead, the Jews come in and punk these niggas into going against me, and they forget about everything that I did for them. Every nigga I just named, I bled for these niggas. I did some. I put them on and shit. I took them with me on tour. I had them open up this, that. And it's like, niggas don't have to be making statements against me in public, and Nick, everybody know what I'm saying is right, and I'm the only one who will fucking say this shit. It's like, I never, like, I'm the type of, like, my mom was a teacher. I'm a nigga, I, like, Donda is like a school. I want niggas to be better. I want niggas to get put on all this type of shit, but then it'd be the betrayal, it'd be all the sneaky shit that niggas do. But that's what it is in this celebrity game. It's like, it's really kill or be killed. Everyone wants to act like they're your friend, and they want to try to come and kill the king, and then like the king's supposed to give everybody a hug afterwards. Like, look at all this shit, nigga. I am in pain, bro. I'm hurt by all this betrayal, and that's what it is. It's like, fuck all these niggas. None of these niggas help me out with the shit I'm dealing with my kids. They let the Kardashians walk around, just run over a black man's head. Like, I'm gonna take these black kids. Don't listen to him. He got a red hat. The red hat, nigga, put me in the hospital. Off that shit. That nigga's like Trump.
He's right, you know, he's been put in an hospital because he was enthusiastic about Trump. Anyways, you know, yeah, we love you, and I hope that things get better, because you have been the victim of injustice that is not being talked about. And right now there are so many males, millions of males, who do not have access to parenting their children, because they have the misfortune that their ex didn't die or didn't disappear. And they have the misfortune of having an alive ex that makes false allegation against them. So I hope that we fix this in society. It's one thing to see Trump go after the aggressive left and Elon complaining about the terrorists who burned Teslas. Okay, those are injustices. But there's a basic injustice that I see happening to all men. All men who have a living ex, they are all deprived of parental rights. So let's fix this. Matt Walsh says, America is not a nation built by immigrants. America was built by settlers. There's a difference. Settlers ventured out into the wilderness to build a civilization from scratch. The modern immigrant comes to a place that is already built. Settlers planted the trees. The modern immigrant comes to eat the fruits. If you cannot see the difference, I don't know how else to explain it. Absolutely beautiful. But why is it that when Papa JF says these things, he doesn't have influence onto the Daily Wire? Why is it that we had to wait for years before all of these center-right personalities could come out of their cocoon and say things that I've been saying for more than a decade now? Why did we have to wait? Well, perhaps the failings of the Daily Wire and the fact that they're in trouble right now will force a Matt Walsh to become more based. Perhaps he's preparing a solo career. Thomas O'Ward says, Ann Coulter said this exact thing almost 10 years ago. Yeah, it's been said before, and why do we have to go through the personal path of each of these thinkers? The Jack Acid says, Walsh makes some good point, but cannot be trusted because of who he works for. Well, we may be headed toward a bankruptcy for the Daily Wire, let me tell you. At this point, Andrew Tate is suggesting that he could buy the Daily Wire. He says, how much? How much? With his barking voice. So we'll see. I hope that the Daily Wire crashes and that we move on. We move on to a true diversity of thought and mostly of individual thinkers. Because centralizing things to force everyone to be a Zionist, that worked 40 years ago. And I hope we are one day in a world where it doesn't work. Much love. See you all tomorrow. And have a good night. By the way, if you'd like to support the show, send me a Streamlabs tip during the night. I'll read them tomorrow.